All right, to quote the great Bob Cole, everything is happening. Happy July 1st. I mean, happy Canada Day. I mean, happy July 28th. The NHL free agent market is officially open. Welcome to this special two-hour signing season edition of Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne with you at the Golden Muzzy, at JT Bourne, at Fan 590, where you can follow along via Twitter. It's been chaotic. It's been crazy so far. Many thanks to producer J.R. Manitet, as well as technical ops Dylan Brown, and Lance Kennedy for their hard work behind the scenes. Justin, everything is literally happening right now.
Yeah, you know, the great irony of the old 12 o'clock free agency right now, that all these deals are just coming out. I heard from someone who was with the NHL front office, who years ago said the league called them and said, could you not announce it right at noon? Like, pretend you just go for a cup of coffee and release it later. But nope, these guys right at noon are announcing all their signings, just making no bones about the tampering that happens before UFA time.
Yeah, that's the best part about this. So they had sort of the courting period a couple years back. That's no longer a thing, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because you're right. Like, all the big names seem to be linked to somewhere, and then we're just going to see a free fall of information come down in the next 20 minutes or so, right?
Yeah, like, could they not give them one day for a 24-hour window before this so we can at least look on the up and up? I don't actually have a problem with it. I just think it's hilarious that they even go through the motions.
Yeah, so anyways, we're going to have a lot to talk about over the next couple hours leading into Blue Jays baseball, of course. But Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period coming up in about 30 from now. It could be Jack Eichel day as well. Don't forget about the trade market. We saw a big-time deal go down about 10 minutes from now. Evgeny Dadonov, now a member of the Vegas Golden Knights from the Ottawa Senators, for Nick Holden and a pick. And should mention as well, this is going to be a lot of fun. Keith Yandle of the Philadelphia Flyers is coming up in about an hour from now. We'll touch base with Keith. Recently bought out by the Florida Panthers, signs a one-year deal at $900K with the Philadelphia Flyers. And you want to talk about teams, Justin, that have made sort of an impact, at least in my world here in the offseason. It's certainly the Philadelphia Flyers. What have you made of what they've done so far?
Well, they've wanted to do something different. And so I don't have a problem with them trying to turn things over a little bit. The Ristolainen acquisition looks a little bit like, hey, there's a big defenseman. I'm sure that'll go fine. So I'm not entirely sure about, the analytics don't love him, I guess, is the point I would make on him. But I really like Ellis as an addition there. And I just think they needed to do something different. Things were stagnating. And I think Cam Atkinson is, can still put the puck in the net and saves some money in the salary cap. So I think they're better off right now than they were going into the past couple of weeks.
All right, the goaltending carousel, certainly we've been fascinated by, at least here in this market here in Toronto. So the very latest, in case you haven't heard, Peter Mrazek's going to sign a three-year deal momentarily with the Toronto Maple Leafs at 3.8. And how about Freddie Anderson, long rumored, by the way, 2 years times 4.5 with the Carolina Hurricanes. What do you make of those two moves?
You know, I kind of like both. You know, if I'm Carolina, yeah, going into this season, you know, they're looking at Mrazek and Nedeljkovic, and you just... I'm of the camp that how Nedeljkovic played before last season's 20 games mattered. And, you know, betting on him to do big things at $4 million a season or whatever he was going to cost them might not have been the smartest move. So I'll take Anderson and Ranta as a duo for Carolina over what they were going to be, the Mrazek-Nedeljkovic one. And then Mrazek for Toronto is good. He's cheaper than Freddie was last year. He's a good bet. You know, in terms of 1B guys that could take a long stretch of games if there's an injury, he's a good bet, and that's all you're looking to make at UFA time is to put your money on a smart place. I think they did there.
Math was never my forte, but they're looking at this tandem around $5.5 million next season before Jack Campbell, eligible to sign a contract right now, but could be a UFA next summer. I'm just more curious about getting over that hump. Like, you look at Carolina, and I think Anderson, that's a great spot for Freddie Anderson because he can go about his job and nobody's just going to bother him. Like, it's not Toronto anymore, which I think will be good news for the Freddie Anderson camp. But when you look at Mrazek, is he or Campbell going to be the guy that leads Toronto to the next level is my question. Because I agree with you. I think it's a pretty sound tandem, but you look at teams that have won the Stanley Cup, how many tandems are winning cups?
No, you're right. I don't disagree that in general I like having a number one guy. But, you know, just given the Leafs situation that they got put in with giving four guys a ton of money, you know, the Marner contract, let's be honest, it looks worse every day that goes by, and you see guys like Landeskog take 7x7. I understand they're totally different situations, but it's still, it's harder to stomach as you move along here. Part of that because of the flat cap. But so you're left with some tough decisions in net, and you kind of have to save money somewhere. I think you have two guys who could get hot, and that's all you're looking to do if you're looking to save money in the crease. You hope that Campbell has found his stride as an NHL starter and that he can do it for you. He played well in the postseason this last year. Certainly, there's no guarantee in any crease. You don't feel like this is a Vasilevsky situation, but I'm okay with the two swings at it here that they've taken with these two pretty good goaltenders.
And ultimately, there has to be concessions at different parts of the ballpark, if you know what I'm saying, for the Maple Leafs, because you pay the big four that type of coin. So I get it from that perspective. Peter Mrazek is going to be a Maple Leaf here momentarily. And again, it's Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne, this signing season edition of Hockey Central, two-hour extravaganza. Again, Dave Pagnotta coming up in about 25 from now. Keith Yandle, next hour of the Philadelphia Flyers. It's been crazy. And this time here, you always like to bring up the name Brian Bickell. Good on Blake Coleman, right? He gets the free agency, and it sounds like he's signing a six-year deal with the Calgary Flames, an AAV just under five at $4.9 million. I don't know about you, look, I love the player, but that could turn out to be a problematic contract, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, the Blake Coleman, so when I was in the American League, he was in the American League, and mm-hmm. you know, part of my job was game planning for certain players, and watching him, you know, there was never anything that was like, oh my God, you got to manage this guy's, you know, raw speed or strength or shot. Like, he just is a guy who I think surpassed even the expectations of his coaches at that level. He works hard. He does it the right way. And people say that about a lot of players, but he is certainly one of them. So to get to this ceiling is almost the absolute pinnacle of the player he could have been, which is great for him. Now, for the Calgary, they're getting a good hockey player here, but he's a good hockey player you love on your third line, making, you know, $3 million. And big expectations come with the contract they just gave him. I'm not sure he's going to be able to fulfill them. But again, the hockey team is better. You don't pay an asset in UFA time. So the Flames needed to get better, and they got better by adding Blake Coleman.
It really, you're right. And it really is intriguing when it comes to this country, because my eyes seem to be on this country for a variety of reasons. And among them is just the activity and the volume of activity. Like, you look at the Vancouver Canucks, they've been absolutely busy, busy, busy the last 5 or 6 days. And it's continued, linked to Yaroslav Halak on a 1-year deal at 1.5 to back up Thatcher Demko.
That.
Of course, they bought out Braden Holtby. I love that value deal too. Sounds like they're going to sign Tucker Poolman here, re-sign Travis Hamonic, Brandon Sutter. I think quietly for the flack Jim Benning has taken the last couple of years, he's put together a pretty decent offseason. They got the Garland extension in yesterday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I guess, kind of always been the thing with a guy like Brandon Sutter has been, you get him at 1x1 and everyone's going to love him. You love what mm-hmm. he does for $1 million. Yeah. You know, it was the bigger number that made a lot of the fans skeptical or, you know, maybe not love the earlier contract. So, yeah, that's a really nice signing. And, you know, they're rounding out their decor, adding Poolman. They're a better hockey team than they were a few days ago. You know, a lot of Canadian teams making a real push to improve. And Edmonton.
No, how about, yeah, oh, we'll get to Edmonton. I just want to break as well. How about for goaltending? Okay. Martin Jones in Philadelphia. What can go wrong there?
Yeesh, man. Coming off that Carter Hart year, you're going to back him up with Martin Jones?
Oh, that is a tough go, and that's the latest from Elliot Friedman on Twitter. Okay, we'll get to that Oilers conversation. I saw 4-year term and Cody Ceci's name attached to it. Did they not see Tyson Barrie and Cody Ceci in Toronto and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't lean on those guys at least defensively and trade Ethan Bear? Like, what are they doing there, Borny?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the turnover on their decor is not been pretty, you know, with adding Keith and Barrie and moving out Ethan Bear and bringing in CeCe. Like, CeCe had a good year last year with Pittsburgh, so I understand them. You know, he's big, and I can see them talking themselves into him. And obviously, Barrie had a lot of points, but they've just got a lot of money going to a decor that, you know, it's still the weakness of these Edmonton Oilers is just their ability to defend, and I don't see how they're getting any better at defending. They're still rolling out Smith and Koskinen, barring something else changing here. So, by the way, their forward group has gotten better with the addition of Hyman and the addition of Fogel. So, you know, I guess we're just going to have football scores in their games. They're just going to have to outscore their problems. It's going to be the 1980s Oilers all over again.
Oh, and that's the thing for me. Like, you can't be serious if you're that team. You know, I like the Mike Smith signing. He was great this year. But they're headed down a path where it's Koskinen and Smith again. And I think you're so right. Like, yeah, they've bettered this team, in my opinion, here in this offseason. But you can't be serious going into next season with the same tandem, can you?
You know, I'm not sold that that's the way it's going to stay. You know, that Koskinen deal is one I'm sure they would love to find a way out of in looking to improve somewhere else. And there's obviously goals you can get cheap. Like seeing Jaro Halak at $1.5 million, that stings if I'm an Oilers fan. You know, something like that would be a real nice solution. So maybe there's more to come. Really like that group up front more than I have in the past with those two quality additions. Like, you know, Fogel's a guy who drives play really well. Not a great finisher, but he is someone who pushes the puck in the right direction when he's out there. No cheat to his game. So like the forward group, but man, that back end, it is a major liability, and their problem has never been scoring goals.
Yeah, you're telling me, and they lost Adam Larson here to the Seattle Kraken as well. And again, there's just so much happening on social media, some intrigue about Zach Parise going back to New Jersey. Think about that momentarily. Michael Granlund, according to Friedge, a 4x5 deal re-signing with the Nashville Predators. Derek Forbort has agreed to terms, according to Frank Cervelli, on a 3-year deal with the Boston Bruins. Alex Goligoski, a 1-year, $5 million contract with Minnesota. You know, it'll be interesting to decompress what's happening today, because I start to wonder about who's going to be left out in the cold. Do you think Philippe Danault could be a name that could be out there for more than just today? I believe we've lost Justin, so we'll try to reconnect.
Oh,
here
no,
with
I'm here.
Bourne.
I'm here. I'm back.
Oh, go
no,
ahead.
I'm just terrible on the mute button.
No worries.
I'm glad you brought up Philip Deneau. He is someone who's fascinating to me, because going into today, I didn't know what to expect. You know, when I saw a number for him, it's impossible for me to even know what's good. Because, again, this guy last year in the playoffs played top minutes as a number one center on a team that went to the Cup Final and scored once. But he was so good defensively, no one cared. So what's that worth? I imagine he's going to be looking between $4 and $5 million per season, and that sounds like a pretty fair number to me. Is that reasonable to you?
Yeah, totally. Totally, that's the way I see it as well. Just some, you know, fascination on Twitter as well. And Dave Panyota's coming up in about 30, but it sounds like Braden Holtby is signing with Dallas. But don't they have like 17 goalies on that roster?
Yeah, I think so. Is Bishop LTIR? Is he going to play? What's Khudobin up to?
So there's Bishop, there's Khudobin, there's Ottinger.
Yeah, I don't really know. That's interesting that they would sign another guy. Also, what was the deal? Goligoski just got 1 year times $5 million?
Yes. Yeah.
And that was in Minnesota?
Correct. Yeah. Like, it's a
lot.
That's
where he went to university. I played him in college when he was in university there. So obviously a guy who's, I think he's from there too. So that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you'll see these type of signings and you'll wonder about them. Obviously, there's a couple contracts you look at right away, like even the Alex Wenberg deal with the Kraken, just under $5 million on a multi-year deal. Teams are going to make mistakes, and I think it's Brian Burke who says it a lot. Like, he doesn't want to make that mistake on free agency day, and I totally get it. You look back a couple of years ago in that free agency class, because ultimately, how many times do teams who are the most aggressive in free agency actually go far in the Stanley Cup playoffs, at least in the initial season?
Yeah, it's pretty uncommon. You know, the running joke on Twitter is that every team should have a guy who just stands beside the GM on UFA day, and his whole job is to say no. All he does is, someone said, just give him a spray bottle and make him stand beside GMs who are like, I should give Derek Forbort 5 years or something. And he just spritz him with the spray bottle and say no. And then you make your team so much better if you don't cripple yourself on free agency day. You don't make that move that you end up having to find a way out of and trade and bury, whatever it is you got to do. So there are some GMs, as we currently speak, that are hurting their franchises going forward. UFA Day does that, but hey, look, you want them to get better, you want to add players, sometimes you have to outbid a team or two, and it's not hard to see how it happens.
You have that itchy finger sometimes, that's for sure. To pedal it back, Justin, to the Maple Leafs conversation. So as far as we know, again, Peter Mrazek, 3x3.8. Aside from that, we expect this team to go value shopping today, right? Michael Bunting's name's been linked. He had 10 goals in 21 games last year for Arizona. A guy who found it later on in his career. I believe he's mid-20s now, but certainly a guy who would add a different look in the top six. But that's where this Maple Leafs team is headed. And I think patience could be a virtue for this team here in free agency. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel like that too. It's just tough to know what the solutions are here. You know, here's the thing, though. This is one of the areas where Kyle Dubas is supposed to be better than other GMs, right? He's the analytics guy. He's the young guy. He's the evaluator, the patient guy who's supposed to find value. Find the guys that, oh, you know, like he, you know, they got him before he actually broke out. Maybe Michael Bunting's that guy. Maybe he's not. You know, this is one of the areas that's yet to be proven, or I guess the story is yet to be written on Dubas's tenure as a Leaf, as a Leafs GM. Was he able to fill in at the fringes once he got the big name stars? The next, I guess, couple months here are going to be crucial to see if they can find some value there.
So how about this? It sounds like Zach Bogosian signing a 3-year deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Wow.
Yeah. Going back to where he won the cup, that's wild. I mean, yeah. Fascinating, though, that like the value of a guy like Bogosian when they see you win a cup is also the value of a guy like David Savard, who went to Tampa and won a cup, who just signed with Montreal 4 years at $3.5 million.
Wow.
So there's value for the guys that'll anchor that third pair.
Correct, and that's going to be your replacement for Shea Weber, right?
Yeah, that's your Weber replacement, a guy who's supposed to, you know, obviously doesn't have Weber's offensive upside, but a bigger physical guy who can, you know, play the hard minutes for you. So, yeah, winning a cup goes a long way. That's a lot of money for David Savard, but he's been a nice player that a lot of teams have coveted for a while.
And so David Savard deal, it sounds like that's official here with Montreal. Cedric Paquette sounds like he's going to sign a deal as well with the hometown Montreal Canadiens. And again, Canada's been really, really active. The Calgary Flames, Blake Coleman, 6x4.9. And they acquired Nikita Zadorov from Chicago. And it just made me wonder, not to question too much because I think it's way too early in Seattle's process, but why did they elect to take a guy in John Quenneville when they could have taken a guy like Nikita Zadorov and then flipped him for the third round pick that Chicago got in that deal today?
I don't know. I don't have a clue. I'm going nuts on Seattle. Like, Alex Wennberg, they're giving 4.5 per time. He's fine, but like they're just there was no plan, or at least it wasn't executed if they had one. You're totally right. Like, Zadorov would have been a free third-round pick for them. Like, does John Quenneville, is he going to fetch a third? Is he going to play meaningful NHL minutes? I don't think so.
No, it's been puzzling. And again, I'm more shocked that Seattle's made, what, two trades since drafting their team. Like, I expect them to be a bit more busy. And certainly, if you sign all these forwards now, that's going to mean an influx of forwards, and I wonder if they get caught in the market here because, as you do know, following maybe day two of free agency, it's like everybody goes away to their cottage, and that's it for the offseason. So you better step up now, I think, if for Seattle, because everybody knows they have the players that they can trade right now.
It's true. No, you're right. They're in a bit of a bind here. It's tough to see a way out for it. You know, I keep saying, you know, we'll wait and see how this unfolds and how they weaponize that cap space. You know, maybe they get in a situation here where things, so many things fall through. They got to talk about Jack Eichel and can they make something happen there? I don't know. There's some weird things going on. I also, by the way, looking, not to completely change the subject, but looking at the Ottawa Senators, their cap friendly page, they got a projected cap hit of $48 million right now. You know, who's going to play for that team? Don't they need to get some players to get to the cap floor? There's just a lot going on right now. It's tough to parse it
all. Yeah, and I, you know, that's the thing you can't look past too as well, Justin. It is free agency day, but don't sleep on trades. I know for a fact Anaheim is looking to get active here. The name Adam Henrique's out there, Ricard Raquel. Wouldn't be shocked that John Gibson, they're totally open for business. Ryan Strom is another guy who makes sense, who could be dealt. I don't know if it's Vegas, I don't know if it's the Ottawa Senators, but I think Ottawa's, it's time to start building momentum upwards, is it not?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I like the idea about trades here, about, you know, teams taking their swing at guys and seeing what they can find. And if it's not to their liking, you know, trading for assets. Another thing about trading, by the way, is you're probably getting a more reasonable contract than the type of one you sign a UFA time. So I guess it depends how much you value or need a lower cap hit. You know, J.R. Manita there, our producer, is just giving that some more information on that Bogosian deal, that there he did turn down more money from other places to go back to Tampa, wanting to be a part of that culture they've created there. That's what winning does.
Yeah, no, it certainly. And I think you look at that deal, and is that the terms of the deals? 3 years times 850?
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at? Wow.
Yeah.
That is
I'm surprised he would
value.
Take that.
Yeah, like that's... Yeah, you're right. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, like, I want to go back to Tampa, but to play for under $1 million, that's a hell of a contract by Tampa. And you talk about Tampa, they make that deal last night. It's still perplexing to me. Julian Brisebois has yet to win the GM of the Year award, and I get the cap circumvention and all that conversation, but they've done an unbelievable job. So they trade Tyler Johnson in a second round pick in 2023, and they get the Brent Seabrook contract. He's headed to LTIR. He's got 3 years left at $6.875 million, but that allows him in effect to make this deal here with Bogosian.
Yeah, that moves out some space for them. You know, they did a really nice piece of business there and moving off from Johnson. I think Chicago gets a decent player there and a good pick, right, in Johnson, so not a huge deal, but just really savvy GM work, avoiding their problems. And, you know, you can talk till you're blue in the face about Brisebois and cap circumvention. That's his job. If he's not circumventing the hell out of the cap,
exactly.
he's not doing his job. So that doesn't take away from him. That's bonus points for him that he was able to field the team in the Stanley Cup playoffs as loaded as they were.
So let's run through the names here of UFAs and where we think they're headed. Dougie Hamilton, I don't think it's official just yet, but it sounds like he's going to sign a monster deal with the New Jersey Devils, a seven-year contract north of $60 million. Gabe Landeskog re-signing with Colorado, 8x7. Zach Hyman, well, it's not official. 7x5.5, $38.5 million total with the Edmonton Oilers. Why don't we stop there since it's this market? Zach Hyman, all the credit to him. I think there's going to be casualties clearly in the way this roster is configured. Played himself out of this market. Goes from Austin Matthews to Connor McDavid. Not too shabby, Borny.
No, this guy's done pretty well for himself in terms of line mates. But he has shown that he can play with those guys and not hold them back. And if anything, help them get pucks back and get more opportunities on the offensive end. So he's just such a... easy player to root for, you know, works so hard. He's clean. He's physical. He's just such a great combination of things. And, you know, we always sit here and talk about the potential bad side of the contract, but like guys like him don't come cheap. They don't come free if you're not developing them from within their system. So, Edmonton added a good player and they're trying to win now. So you can see why they're willing to overspend a bit or take that risk to get him in their lineup.
Yeah, and this is the first true season, I think, in the regime of Ken Holland where he's trying to do some stuff for himself. Before, it was all cleaning up the mistakes of the previous regime, if you want to call it that. And certainly they've been active the last couple days for sure. But just lots going down here as we continue on in this signing season edition of Hockey Central. Again, Philip Grubauer's name is still out there. It sounds like he's still talking to the Colorado Avalanche, but you talk about the goaltending carousel. It's always fascinating. By the way, it sounds like Ben Bishop's going to start the season on LTIR for the Dallas Stars, but that still leaves them with three goaltenders, with now Braden Holtby in the mix on a one-year deal, Ottinger and Anton Khudobin. And speaking of Dallas, they also signed Ryan Suter to a four-year contract. So it's like everything GMs learned the last couple of years, they're throwing out the window today, Borny.
Yeah, like, is Suter a guy who could be the rare double buyout candidate in 2 years? You know, I don't think it'll happen, but it's crazy that a guy who had 4 years of his deal bought out just got
double
signed
buyout.
For 4 years. You could see what it's almost a slap in the face to Minnesota, just saying, like, we don't think you made the right decision on this player. Or just saying that, hey, getting him at this much value is worth it for Dallas. So it's a big bet on a declining asset. Ryan Suter also has he's the only guy who, I think in my career, who referred to me as a bender on the ice. So I've never liked him.
Oh,
so
wow.
Anyway.
Underrated chirp. I like that.
Anyway, so best of luck to Ryan Suter and all his millions of dollars. sort of.
Yeah, no, because you know, it was always the speculation is out there that a part of the Ryan Suter buyout was to change the culture. And I know it's so cliche in this NHL world to talk about hashtag culture change inside the locker room. They wanted to change, you know, the formula, if you will, in St. Paul and Minnesota. And that was sort of the perspective. But I think of the two guys bought out, and Zach Parise's going back to New Jersey, by the way. But I think of the two, there's still substantial value in a guy like Ryan Suter in your top four. So I actually like that deal. And I just think it stabilizes John Klingberg. It stabilizes Miro Heiskanen. And of course, you know, it helps for the loss of you know, the other guys that they've had. They've, you know, Oleksiak on the back end. There's multiple guys that they've lost. And it sort of impacts that sort of train of thought as well. There's so many dominoes to it.
Yeah, no, you know what Dallas has got on their back end is really solid right now. They're really they've really seemed to dug in on the idea that they're going to be a defense first type of team, and that's the way they're going to win games. So, yeah, I like the way that they're built, given their sort of lack of elite top end guys. And all due respect to Sagan and Ben, but those guys are not elite point producers in the NHL at this point anymore. So, just big numbers going around today for a flat cap. Oh. I can't believe some of this. Just seeing what's on our screen here with Savard and Forbert and Granlin, Hamonic, big money all around.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Reading as well that, again, a day after trading Marc-Andre Fleury, Vegas has zoned in on their backup. It's going to be Laurent Boisois, formerly of the Winnipeg Jets, on a two-year contract, just under $2.5 million. Since we're on Vegas, man, you played hockey at a really, really good level. What does that do to a locker room? And we've talked about this a lot throughout this season, with Stewie included. Just you have to be careful with shuffling the deck chairs every offseason. And you bring in Pietrangelo, and you move Marc-Andre Fleury, and you move Stastny, and now Evgeny Dadonov is into the mix. Am I overthinking that process, Borny?
I kind of made the case yesterday to Stewie that I don't think it's as big a deal as a lot of other established hockey people do. Like, I still think Vegas remains a coveted destination, right? Like, it's a great place to live and play, and I believe a tax-free state, and, you know, they're competitive. Like, there's a lot of good things going for Vegas, so you almost never think it's going to be you when you sign a contract, right? Like, I'm not the guy they're going to trade out of here, so I don't think it's that huge a deal. I do think what is a big deal is they just took on a $5 million cap hit for Evgeny Dadonov, who's 32 years old and had 20 points in 55 games last year. And I'm not sure how that's going to fix their problems that they ran into this past season.
You know what? I actually like the Dadonov pickup quite a bit, because who did he have to play with in Ottawa as opposed to Florida? He put up great numbers in Florida, multi-seasons of 25 goals plus since coming back from the KHL. And now you add him into the mix of that top nine, and they're looking for depth, because that's the one thing we've noticed in Vegas the last couple of years. They could not score. And you add a guy like Dadonov into the mix there as well. I think that's an encouraging sign. But I just don't like they get rid of the 1.7 hit on Nick Holden's contract as well. Mm-hmm. I still think there's another move up the sleeve of Vegas. And maybe it's just because of what we've seen in their first couple of years in this league. Expect the unexpected, whether it be Ryan Strom or Jack Eichel. I think they're positioning themselves for something. Do you agree?
I do, and I just feel like something like the two names you mentioned at the end, like that kind of works for me. The Dadonov thing, like if he does need to kind of ride the coattails of other players to get his production, you're not driving play come playoffs, it gets real hard to get over the hump and score those goals. Like, I see your point, like having a little bit of offensive support is something they could use, but $5 million quite a bit. But anyway, it is, you're right though, they also moved off some cap hit, and then they've got room to do more. So one of those things where we wait and see how it ends up.
Just want to clarify something as well. And again, we understand it just does a lot of free-flowing information on social media. It doesn't sound like Zach Parise is confirmed to the New Jersey Devils. Sounds like the Islanders involved in that conversation still. So I apologize on that front. Wasn't a confirmation by any stretch, but it sounded like it was heading that direction. So at this point in time, Zach Parise is still a free agent. And we'll see where he lands, and we'll touch base with our next guest here again. Just so many moving parts, a lot happening on this chaotic free agent frenzy day in the NHL world. Dave, go ahead.
Bunting to Toronto. Sorry. It's done.
Okay, so there you have it. Yeah. Michael Bunting signs a deal here with the Toronto Maple Leafs, just reading it right now. Cody Ceci, a four-year deal at 3.25 with Edmonton. So we'll reconvene and decompress what's happened here in the first 30 minutes or so of the open market. Don't forget Keith Yandle, the Philadelphia Flyers, coming up in about 30 minutes from now. But after this short break, Dave Pagnotta of the fourth period to help break it all down. It's Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, welcome back to this special two-hour signing season edition of Hockey Central here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne with you on Twitter at The Golden Muzzy, at JT Bourne, at Fan590. The latest here from the Maple Leafs perspective on a busy first 33 minutes of open market, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Peter Mrazek, 3x3.8, and Michael Bunting coming over from Arizona via free agency, 2x900K on that deal. What do you make of that, Bourne?
Sorry, I was just reading Jeff Molson's letter to Montreal Canadiens fans. Can you repeat that, Nick?
Michael Bunting, two-year deal
yes,
with Toronto. What do you make
of
that?
Bunting deal. The Bunting deal is, I was actually going through a list in my head. How many players played for Kyle Dubas and the Sioux that have not played for a Leafs Marlies team? It isn't many. McCann touched it. He touched it. They made a trade for him. The only ones I can come up with are Nick Ritchie and Tony D'Angelo, who don't rule out the Ritchie one just yet. I don't know. There can't be many guys. Bunting, 10 goals in 20 games, 25 years old, a good bet at a cheap cost. I got no problem with that. And the type of player that the Leafs, you know, I mentioned him trying to find value. This is a good attempt to find some value in a player.
By the way, James Reimer headed to the San Jose Sharks to form a tandem there with Aiden Hill as we welcome in the one, the only Dave Pagnotta of the fourth period. Dave, thanks so much for hopping on. I know it's a busy day for you. What do you make of the two Maple Leafs moves thus far, and is anything else percolating in Leafs land today?
Yeah, well, look, they wanted to obviously shore up the goaltending position. That was clear, Nick, and they tried getting Darcy Kemper out of Arizona. They just weren't able to make that happen. So they circled back on Peter Mrazek, got him able to sign in pretty short amount of time. We're hitting a lot of records on guys accepting deals here, which is lovely. It's a solid move. They have a lot of confidence in Jack Campbell. So to bring in a veteran presence like Peter Mrazek, who's only 29, by the way, to come in there and you know, lessen the load for Campbell, I think makes a lot of sense for Toronto. So I like that move. And then some depth moves, as you mentioned, you know, Bunting, and they're fishing around to see. They were in on Mikael Granlund. They didn't want to get to, $5 million per year, which is what he signed on a 4-year deal with Nashville. So they're still looking around. Nick Foligno is still in the picture. And, they've got some other possibilities in terms of fishing for that type of a player. I don't know if they're going to go after, you know, too heavily a guy like Mike Hoffman or anything like that. But if the price drops on some of these players, we could see teams like them, take advantage of the cap situations.
David, one of the sort of dominoes we're waiting to get pushed over here is Jack Eichel. Do you think Jack Eichel is going to happen here in the coming day, week, ever? What's going on in Buffalo?
Yeah. Well, they hope so. They still haven't figured out what kind of surgery he's going to have. So, that's the other factor. They're hoping that if they can move him, then that's the other team's problem. If they can't hear, I would imagine by the weekend that they're going to have to come over to some type of resolution to get him, you know, healthy again, or at least back on the mend. Yeah, he's skating and, trying to at least get his legs going and get back into the swing of things. But at the same time, still needs to get that done on the, on his neck to fix the herniated disc. So, They're hoping they can get something done, but as we're seeing, some teams just not willing to pay a premium to make it happen because of the uncertainty with his health. I mean, a lot of people still believe he's still going to be playing hockey, but how is his recovery? How's that going to affect his long-term status? So, we'll see if they can get there. I think the addition of Dadonov in Vegas almost takes them out unless they're moving other pieces. I know that Anaheim and the Los Angeles Kings have circled back to a certain extent in the last day or so to see if the price has changed or if, you know, Buffalo's willing to change it. But we'll see. They want to get this resolved. They would love to have this over with. Certainly ownership would as well. But so far, we're still sitting here waiting to see who's going to step up.
We're chatting here with Dave Pagnotta on Hockey Central, the signing season edition. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne, sounds like on Twitter via Kevin Wiekstedt, Ryan Getzlaf's going to re-sign here with the Anaheim Ducks and was testing the market, ultimately did, and went back to Anaheim, the captain re-signing, it sounds, with the Anaheim Ducks. Let's talk about course correction. We thought the last couple years that the market, the free agent market was starting to course correct a bit. What's happening today, Dave? Like some of these deals, like the Wenberg deal comes to mind, the Cody Ceci deal comes to mind. It's like, why is this happening in your opinion?
Panic mode. It's the same thing we see every year, minus last year, because, you know, the pandemic and everything was a pretty big excuse from a financial perspective, and it made sense. It was validated. But now with, you know, the anticipation that in a couple of years the cap's going to skyrocket with a lot of the new revenue that's coming in from the TV deals in the States to, you know, Seattle playing a factor and that contributing to HRR soon enough. I mean, they know that it's going to increase. So for a lot of these teams that are pressured to, you know, make a run here come postseason time or to get into the postseason, they're going to be paying a little bit extra. And that's what we're seeing. So, yeah, it's the same thing. It's a head scratcher every year. We see some guy. I mean, look, kudos to the guys. Get as much money as you can. I got all the power to do that. But a lot of these teams, you know, again, just not being overly fiscally responsible. And like I said, it's the same thing we see every year.
Is there any team whose action or inaction so far on deadline day surprised you, just in terms of what you saw as needs? You know, the Oilers being as active as they have been has been a little bit surprising for me. Is there anyone out there that you're kind of waiting to see more from? Maybe the Red Wings, someone like that?
Well, I mean, like from Edmonton's perspective, the mandate was going into this offseason, get better, do what you can. We have to make the playoffs. We have to make noise.
Right.
And, you know, so I understand some of their moves. You know, bringing back Tyson Barrie makes sense. Cody Ceci's a lot of money. You know, so that's that one to me was a bit of a head scratcher from their perspective. But, you know, we'll see how that, you know, kind of unfolds. I mean, you know, Chicago's got their fake rebuild that's going on. So that's not overly surprising. They're in the works. They've got a couple other things that are in the works right now. Calvin DeHaan's name has been tossed around as another potential trade candidate. So we'll see what happens with the Blackhawks. But I presume they've got a couple other things that are going on. I almost want to put Toronto in the surprise mix, but not really, because I knew that they weren't going to be in a position this season to kind of, you know, overspend too much to bring in some other assets. They let, you know, Zach Hyman go to Edmonton for $5.5 million a year at 7 years. You know, they circled on some guys, as I mentioned, Granlin and a few others earlier. I think Brandon Saad is a guy that they're looking at among other teams to see, you know, if the price drops, can they get in on that action? Otherwise, they're going to resort back to the, you know, to the trade market to kind of see where things are at. And I think, you know, this wasn't an overly deep free agent market. You know, there's not that many top tier guys that are out there or were out there. And especially now, I mean, really, it's Saad and Foligno that are kind of the top two forwards still in the mix. David Krejci's finalizing a deal to stay in Boston. So I think Toronto's creativity will start to go from a trade perspective at this stage if they can't get, you know, one of those guys locked in. But not a whole bunch of – I mean, maybe L.A. I might throw L.A. in the mix because I know they were trying to be active. And they are another team in on Saad and for some reason Philip Deneau. You know, maybe that's a team that starts to make some noise here in the next hour or so.
Talk about noise. It's not going to come from Long Island. But do you get the sense that Lou Lamoriello is up to something? Because we have no clue who he's re-signing. Kyle Palmieri, Casey Cizikas, and could he still be out there on the trade market as well?
Yeah, he is. Kyle Palmieri is going to stay on the island. They're going to be finalizing a long-term deal there. Zach Parise is coming in on a one-year. But they have some other things that they're working on and trying to make all the money fit. As you mentioned, Cizikas is a guy that they definitely want to keep. He absolutely wants to stay there, but he also wants a competitive deal. He'll take the quote-unquote hometown discount, but he still wants it to be competitive. So they're still working on that and trying to figure that out. But it sounds like Palmieri's sticking around unless something dramatic happens, you know, at the 11th hour here. It certainly sounds like that's pretty much locked in. And there's the trade side of things. They freed up a lot of money. I think they're still in the mix, or were at least going into today, on Vladimir Tarasenko. I haven't heard too much on that front. But, you know, it wouldn't shock me to see some kind of surprise move out of the island, because Lou always finds a way to kind of pull that off. The other thing that they're also trying to figure out is Adam Pellick. trying to get him locked into a long-term deal as well. They want to go long-term with him, but they got to figure out if the money is going to fit. You're probably looking at somewhere between $5-6 million in and around that neighborhood.
David, what are your thoughts on what the Canucks have been up to? It seems like some major overturn there. I don't know if they're – I think they're better than they have in the past, but I'll leave that up to you. What have you made of all the moves that they've made? They've been very busy over the past week.
Yeah, well, this is another team that had to be active, had to make moves, because Jim Benning knows that there's a little brush fire under him. So if they don't compete, if they can't get through a postseason to postseason action next season, it's going to be tough for him to pull off. Now, I like the moves that they made. They wanted a top six guy to bring into their fold. They got it in Connor Garland. They wanted to get better on defense, and I think the change of scenery for Oliver Ekman-Larsson will do wonders. I know a lot of people are all over him, over his performance the last couple of years. I could tell you he was not happy in Arizona. I mean, he had probably the shortest exit meeting of all time with the Coyotes after this season, from everything that I've heard. So he was just poised to move on. It was a course correction for them with this club after they signed him. It's not his fault, but he was certainly disappointed in their direction. So I like that ad. I like the fact that they brought back Travis Hamonic, signing him to a 2-year deal. So they brought in depth. You know, they course corrected some money as well, with Brandon Sutter coming back at just over $1 million, and they're bringing in some depth pieces. Jason Dickinson, they wanted to bring in a third line center. He's an RFA, but, you know, he's someone that they're going to try to lock in. The biggest thing from Vancouver's side of things, and the biggest worry going into this offseason, quite frankly, guys, was Elias Pettersson. There are a few teams that have seriously considered going the route of an offer sheet. I don't think it's gotten to there to this point, but this is something that Vancouver was getting wind of and wanted to create some space to make sure that they can match a deal. Would they match something $10 million plus on an AAV? I don't know, to be honest, but they certainly have created the space to provide that illusion that they would match anything, but there's definitely some fear that that might come down the pike if they can't get a deal done. And there are a few teams that are still hovering around and contemplating that possibility.
I know you got to run, but you talk about Elias Pettersson, Rasmus Dahlin, Brady Tkachuk, Juuse Saros, Ilya Sorokin, Shesterkin, Svechnikov, Carter Hart. All these guys are eligible for offer sheets. You broke the Aho offer sheet a couple years ago. From what you're hearing around the league, is there a potential there for a potential offer sheet here?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, teams are becoming a little bit more bold as you get some newer GMs into the fold, and you know, everybody understands the rules and everybody wants to play by them. But if an opportunity pops up, you know, you got to do what's best for your club. So I think there's more of a possibility there. As I mentioned, there was legit concern from Vancouver, and there still kind of is, with respect to Elias Pettersson. So we'll see if that comes into the mix. I'm not hearing too much on other guys, not yet anyway, but the longer these conversations go, the more that possibility opens up. The other guy that it wouldn't shock me that some teams are also contemplating, but I don't think they're getting as far down the road as Andrei Svechnikov in Carolina. Their talks have been next to nothing lately. They'll have those conversations probably next week to see if they can get him locked in. But Svechnikov wouldn't shock me, but at the same time, Carolina showed, at least with Aho, that they're willing to match. So would they do it again with him?
Yeah, apparently the hill they were willing to die on was Alex Nedeljkovic. Dave, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for this. Get back to work, okay?
You got it. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care. It's Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period. You know, lots to break down. Certainly we'll be with you for the next hour and a half or so, or an hour and 15 minutes at this point in time. Blue Jays baseball, a twin bill coming your way at 2 Eastern time, so keep it locked all day long. But we'll hit the break. Much more to come here. Keith Yandle, the Philadelphia Flyers, coming up at about 15 minutes from now. It's Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, wrapping up hour one of this 2-hour signing season extravaganza here on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne with you on Twitter at The Golden Muzzy, at JT Bourne at Fan 590. Again, in about 10 minutes from now, Keith Yandle, fresh off signing a new deal here with the Philadelphia Flyers, 1 year at $900K. We'll drop by. But what's your initial impression, Justin, as we look at some of these deals go by?
Well, I guess that, you know, I think the Canadian division put a lot of pressure on Canadian teams. Like, it really intensified the spotlight on what was going on. And frankly, I'll just say it, forced a lot of people in the eastern part of Canada, a lot of media in the east, to pay closer attention to what was going on to Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, and teams that weren't in Toronto and Montreal's division, essentially. And because of that, the scrutiny got ramped up, and I think these teams have felt a lot of pressure, and we're seeing them react. Huge changes in Vancouver, huge changes in Edmonton, Calgary making big moves. I just feel like teams are there's a lot of pressure being felt in a lot of Canadian cities.
Yeah, there's a lot of panic, as Dave Pagnotta put it last segment, throughout this league and the NHL right now, and you're starting to see that. I thought there was a bit of course correction in the market, but I thought wrong, because it has been like dominoes, especially when it comes to the goaltending market, where one after one after one, it sort of started with the news earlier today of Freddie Anderson signing with the Carolina Hurricanes, the Mrazek news hit, the Bernier news. Like, it seems like, you know, there's a couple teams still lost out there, among them the Edmonton Oilers. But I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to this country, especially in Edmonton. The pressure that team and that organization must feel with McDavid and Draisaitl on, it's pretty extraordinary, I think.
Yeah, and I think the pressure is justified, because those guys are Hart Trophy winners that are very young, you know, like, I shouldn't say very young, in their mid-20s now. It's time, and, you know, obviously exceptional talents, there's a lot to like within the group, so finding ways to fill in around them so they can be a contender is now or never time, and I don't know that they found hit all the right notes on the back end, but hey, at least they recognize the need and they're trying.
Yeah, I don't believe the Hyman deal is official just yet, but we're looking at 7x5.5 for Zach Hyman with the Edmonton Oilers. Still waiting to find out on Philip Grubauer, obviously the biggest name remaining in terms of UFA netminders. Sounds like him and Colorado are still talking, and you talk about musical chairs. I think it's likely at this point in time Grubauer is going to re-sign there. Philippe Danault is another guy who I guess we'll wait and see with the center market, but he's been linked to a couple teams out there, still available as far as we know. It sounds like David Krejci is going to re-sign with Boston. Brandon Saad's another name. It's pretty astonishing how quickly the names do fall. And next thing you know, Borny, by the end of this show in about an hour, we're not going to have much in terms of where a guy's going to go, right?
No, this is crazy. I don't remember this many names falling this quickly. This has been a massively busy free agent period.
Yeah, it has. Jonathan Bernier, a two-year deal, by the way, former Maple Leaf, now with the New Jersey Devils. So his rights were traded in the Nedeljkovic deal. Doesn't re-sign or sign, I guess you should say, in Carolina. Signs a two-year deal, just over $4 million total with the New Jersey Devils. As we roll on here, the signing season edition of Hockey Central, Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne still to come. Keith Yandle of the Philadelphia Flyers just signs a one-year deal at $900K after a buyout from Florida. He's coming up next year on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Some big-time coin being thrown around here on day one of NHL free agency, hour number two of this special two-hour signing season edition of Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan is underway. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne with you at the Golden Muzzy, at JT Bourne on Twitter. Momentarily, we'll be joined by Keith Yandle, newest member of the Philadelphia Flyers. But first and foremost, the Maple Leafs perspective. Peter Mrazek, 3x3.8. Michael Bunting, 2x900K. And it sounds like they've signed Michael Amadio, a depth forward, one-year, two-way deal, Borny.
Yeah, that's a nice, you know, what we were talking about earlier in the show. The Leafs are supposed to find these guys that are have upside, that are cheap gambles. Amadio checks that box, good puck recovery guy, you know, with a little bit of offensive upside if you can find it there. So almost no risk and a good gamble as I see it.
Having a bit of technical issues with Justin, we'll look to reconnect momentarily. But I think you're right, and that's the name of the game is some value buys here when it comes to you know what the Maple Leafs put forward here.
You got
Justin,
me, Nick?
You there? Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, you got me. Hello.
Yep, good to go. Yeah, we're just talking about those value buys by the Maple Leafs. That's what we're aiming for here, right?
Yeah, no, and that's something that we had talked about earlier on the show. Just the Maple Leafs are supposed to be finding these guys that they can fill in cheap on the edges that have some upside that could surprise. And Amadio checks that box. That there's a chance Seattle could have taken him. I think he's that good a player.
All right, we've... Yeah. Yeah, so we lost Justin once again. We'll look to reconnect here. But again, that's the big story in Leafs land. Peter Mrazek, 3x3.8. Michael Bunting, 2x900K. And Michael Amadio, a one-year two-way deal. As we look around again, looking to link up here with Keith Yandel in mere moments. But the market in general is taking shape. And you're back. You're back in the mix, eh?
Yes. I don't know what's going on with this the technology. I'll try to not move an inch. We'll maintain.
All good. The UFA market, any names stick out to you in terms of guys that have been linked or at least signed deals today?
Well, just looking at the overall, I guess, the landscape, I'm still kind of waiting to see if there's some big trades for anyone out there. Obviously, the Jack Eichel one kind of looms over it all. Darcy Kemper is another name who would be available by trade. Not you don't get good players for free. They're cost. You got to pay a bit more at UFA or you got to trade a guy. So those are the biggest names that I'm waiting on.
Did you see this too as well? 2x4.125 for Jonathan Bernier?
Yeah, I saw that deal. Bernier is a guy that the analytics recently really like. His like goals saved above expected. More teams are paying more attention to how to evaluate goaltenders, and he'd be a guy that you know, checks the boxes of analytics darling. And New Jersey is obviously heavy into the analytics, so that pairing makes some sense.
And certainly from a Maple Leafs perspective, the goaltending carousel continues. Freddie Anderson lands with the Carolina Hurricanes, and we'll get to that momentarily, but so happy for our next guest to give us some time here on a busy, busy day for sure. Happy to bring in the newest member of the Philadelphia Flyers. It's Keith Yandel, who signs a one-year deal. Keith, congratulations on this new contract. Why Philadelphia?
You know what? It was kind of... It was one of those things when I became a UFA, they were, you know, one of the first teams to reach out to me. And then obviously seeing what Chuck's done with their roster the last couple of days and, you know, bringing in the guys that he did and, you know, talking to them and guys there and, you know, they're all in to win. And I think, you know, for me, it was a situation. I think I can go in and help and hopefully help win some games.
Hey, Keith. Yeah, thanks for joining us, man. Congrats on the deal. How would you say that your priorities have changed since you first entered the league? I don't know what would have been most important to you as a young player, but I imagine things look different when you survey the NHL landscape now as a veteran player.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, when you first start out, the biggest thing is to, you know, just make a team and make a name for yourself, and then you know, obviously the money thing comes in and, you know, you want to make as much money, but you also got to think of, you know, being happy. But, you know, I think for me now it's just, you know, I know I'm on the back nine of my career. So it's one of those things where I got to, you know, the main goal right now is to win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, that's kind of all that was in focus in signing this summer.
Chatting with Keith Yandel, now a newest member of the Philadelphia Flyers. From the perspective of seeing how busy the Flyers have been in the offseason, I like the move you going there for a variety of reasons, among them character and personality and sort of the culture change that we've seen in Philadelphia. How much of an impact did that have ultimately in your decision to go to that team where you look at how proactive and some of the bigger names they brought in here in the offseason have been?
Yeah, it was a huge part. And, you know, just seeing... You know, you obviously losing a guy like Voracek, a guy that's been there a while, a great player, but, you know, bringing back a guy like Cam, who is a full-blown superstar, who can score goals 5-on-5, 4-on-4, you know, on the PK, you know, he's just a stud. And then, you know, Ryan Ellis in the back end, he's a minute machine. He plays all situations. You know, he's a warrior out there, a guy that you don't like playing against. Obviously, Ristolainen, a huge D-man, a guy that's you can play all situations as well. You know, has a big, big shot on him, and you know, I think for you know what the Flyers did this summer, it was for me. You know, it looked like they're all in to win, and you know, ultimately, that's my main goal as well.
Hey Keith, what do you think when you hear people say that NHL players have no personality? Like I think of you as a guy who a lot of people write off as their you know funniest teammates. You got your boys Wit and Biz getting famous on the other side of the business. What are your thoughts when you hear that NHL players don't have personality?
I would say guys are getting, you know, more and more out there and growing their brands. Yeah, I think on social media, guys, I'm not on social media, but I think guys do a great job of that. I think a lot of it has to do, too, with, I think, the way guys carry themselves. I think, you know, when I first started in the NHL, it was black suit, white tie, black tie. And now you see guys are cool these days. Guys are out there. They're owning, you know, what they're wearing, you know, how they show up to the rink, how they carry themselves. And, you know, ultimately, those are the things that you can grow your brand from. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. I think guys nowadays are not afraid to be outside of the box. And I think if it was 15, 12 years ago, it would have been some of your suits would have been cut or, you know, you would have been paying for some team dinners. But I think nowadays, you know, I think it's cool the way that guys are, you know, putting themselves out there. And, you know, I think it's a good thing for the game.
How much heat are the fellas giving you
for spraying
the bees?
I'm not a cool guy like those.
You're not cool, yeah. You're old now.
No.
You're the sock master, man. How much heat are you getting from the fellas about spurning the bees?
About what?
Spurning the Boston Bruins, obviously your attachment to that market. How much heat are you getting for the fellas?
Not too much. All my friends, they're loyal to me and you know, as I am to them, and they're just now that they're all about Flyers, being Flyers fans, and you know, all excited to come down and visit and watch games, and you know, obviously with having Hazy, guys know that it's a mm-hmm. great place to watch a game, and you know, Philly fans are awesome, so it's kind of one of those things where I think my friends are excited to come down and get a taste of it.
How different was playing for, I guess, the coaches that you've played for? I'm looking at, so you played for Alain Vigneault and Joel Quenneville, obviously going back to Vigneault. How different are they in terms of coaching styles?
You know what? They're both players' coaches. Obviously, every team has different, you know, how you can play in the D zone or offensively. It kind of all depends the makeup of your team. But, you know, I think they have some similarities of, you know, they're both guys that you want to play for. You know, I really enjoyed my time with AV. He knows what to get out of his players. You know, he's a fun guy, too. He's a guy that's, you know, I'm not sure how he is in the media and stuff, but he's, you know, when he's in the locker room, he's smiling. If things are going good, you're laughing, having a good time. He's a guy that you can talk to at any time. So I'm definitely excited to work with him again.
Two quick hitters, and we'll let you ride. Excuse me. Are you a big cheesesteak guy, and what's your favorite Rocky movie?
Definitely Rocky One. and yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, cheesesteak. I'm a big. I got to get used to cook because we call it a steak and cheese, but so I gotta get used to calling it the cheesesteak, where it's originated. But I'm gonna have to get some tips from Hazy to where to go, because I know that, you know, Geno's and Pat's are the big ones.
Pat's,
I heard,
yep.
I actually played golf with a guy from Philly last week, and he's like, listen, those are the tourist ones. He goes, there's a million of them that are just as good. So, yeah, I'll be excited to test them out.
I've got a great material content for you. You and Gritty eat a cheesesteak. How about that, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. me, Gritty, and Kevin.
Keith, you're the absolute best, man. Thanks so much, this, and congratulations on your new deal, and best of luck in Philly, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Keith.
Anytime. That is Keith Yano, now of the Philadelphia Flyers. Kind of intriguing. I actually interviewed Keith when he signed his mega deal with the Florida Panthers, and now again he signs his deal with the Philadelphia Flyers. But, Borny, I like this fit quite a bit, and I just like the character change inside that locker room here in Philadelphia, the names he just mentioned, and Ristolainen and Ellis. And not to say they can hide Yandle, but I think you can put him in good situations to succeed, if that makes sense, especially running your power play. Like, it just takes pressure off the Provorovs, the Sanheims, you know, obviously the Ellises and the Ristolainens to just play their game when you have a guy who can run a power play like Keith Yandle.
Yeah, he's as talented as they come, man. He's, you know, great vision, smart guy, sees the ice super well. So, you know, anytime you can get a guy like that for under $1 million, you've made your decor better.
So many thanks to Keith Yandel for hopping on as you roll on here on this signing season edition of Hockey Central. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne just reading the wire as well. Sounds like the Lightning are closing in on a massive extension with Braden Point, an 8-year extension, something we probably expected. That's another thing to keep in mind is some of these guys who are now eligible for extensions, among them Braden Point. Any sense what that cap hit could look like? Probably around, what, 9.5?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's so crazy just because, you know, a couple of years ago before this all, you know, COVID left us with a flat cap and no fans and all that, you know, RFA deals were heading up in that range, looking at, you know, Mikko Rantanen, obviously the Mitch Marner deal. It looked like these top end hits were going to be bigger, but yeah, Point is worth at least those guys, right? So, I mean, I think you're looking at a $10, $11 million guy, but, you know, maybe things have been tempered a little bit. So maybe he goes shorter so he gets a chance to take a swing at a bigger deal in a couple of years. That might be one way to make his money.
Certainly something to monitor over the next couple of minutes as we roll on here. Don't forget Blue Jays baseball, Twin Bill coming up at 2 Eastern time, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox from Fenway. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central. Let's take a look and recap what Canada has done because it's been very, very active. And I like the perspective you brought up earlier on of just the intensity and the pressure of what was the all-Canadian division this past season and normalizing, going back to the old divisions. And certainly we expected a lot of the Vancouver Canucks men. I howled and was chuckling at sort of their activity last offseason from Braden Holtby to Nate Schmidt to other guys, and then they're out the door. But Vancouver's been busy on the free agent market. Tucker Poolman, Yaroslav Halak, love that value buy, a 1 year, 1.5 to sort of cater and move along. Thatcher Demko's an excellent buy. Travis Hamonic re-signs on a 2-year deal at $3 million per, and Brandon Sutter at 1.125 on a 1-year contract, not to mention the Connor Garland extension from yesterday, 5 years, 24.75 mil total. Not too shabby from Jimmy Benning here.
Well, you're right. It's just funny. How often do we see a GM making moves that are an outright rebuke of the moves the same GM made? Like, he's trading out his own mistakes. And we're like, great job moving off that Holtby deal and getting away from Roussel and Beagle. And, you know, it's like, those are his deals. So he has done nice work. And it takes something to acknowledge mistakes and to move on from them. Like, that's all great. You're going to make mistakes, and owning them and moving on from them is a big win, so good for him for admitting that. It's just rare you see a guy moving the last GM's stuff out the door, but it's the same GM.
I was just being nice about it. The Calgary Flames acquiring Nikita Zadorov for a 3rd-round pick from Chicago, still an RFA, so they got to sign him. And one of the bigger deals of the day that sort of came out of left field, but you got the sense it was going to happen just strictly because of back-to-back Stanley Cups and how integral he was for Tampa, is Blake Coleman ends up with the Calgary Flames, 6 years, 4.9 cap hit on that, 29.4 mil total. Do you like that fit in Calgary for Blake Coleman?
Yeah, I mean, this is, we shouldn't go another minute without mentioning Daryl Sutter here. Like, this guy's going to be the coach of the hockey team for the next 2 years. There's not a chance that the players they brought in were going to be light and skilly types. You know, it's going to be bigger men on the back end and, you know, guys who've been through wars like Coleman. So this exactly fits the way the coach wants to play. And to me, as a GM, if you're not aligning the way your team likes to play with your coach, one of the two has to get fixed. So they just gave Sutter that deal. Good for them to give, good for him, Tree Living, for getting Sutter some of the type of players he likes to coach.
The Edmonton Oilers have been quite active. Nothing official, by the way, thus far on Zach Hyman, but we know that's coming down the pike at 7 years and 5.5 per season. But it is confirmed. Tyson Barrie, former Maple Leaf, re-signs 3 years, 4.5 mil cap hit on that. And Cody Ceci somehow lands a 4-year contract, total of $13 million. They also traded Ethan Barrett today to the Carolina Hurricanes for forward Warren Fogelborne.
Yeah, you know, it's rare to see a guy like that. I think Tyson Barrie led D in scoring last year.
Yeah, you're right.
It's crazy to see a guy lead the league in scoring as a defenseman, sign a $4.5 million deal and have us be like, still not good. You know, he's a good player. He's a good player, and you know, maybe he's not what people wanted him to be, but he has some value for them. It's just unfortunate. You know, none of their D defend particularly well. Like, their D does a lot of things well. They move the puck up the ice pretty well, but none of them defend particularly well. So I just think they're going to be left with a lot of the same problems of the past that, yeah, they're going to be able to score like crazy, but they're going to have to score like crazy because they're going to be giving up goals too.
Yeah, they haven't done enough for me when it comes to goaltending. There's no way in my world you come back with Koskinen and Mike Smith. But again, you see the goaltending market, you start to wonder if that's going to be the case unless they think Alex Stalock is a serviceable 1A, 1B type option. I just don't think they're good enough in between the pipes. Winnipeg's been quiet. We expected it. I mentioned Tucker Pullman's now going to the Vancouver Canucks on a free agent deal. But Winnipeg did a lot of their heavy lifting so far here in the offseason via trade and via the back end. They pick up Brendan Dillon and Nate Schmidt. And the underlying storyline behind those two guys is the character, Borny, they bring into that locker room, right?
Yeah, both really well-liked guys. And, you know, we'd identified that team as another team that could score, but the defense was just so bad. It was a bit of a trend in the Canadian division, actually, last year. So for Connor Hellebuck, nice to see them pay attention to that position. Now, does Nate Schmidt defend well? Not so much. But Brendan Dillon certainly does, and Nate Schmidt gets the puck going on the offensive side of things. So hopefully they can get away with asking Hellebuck to do a little bit less. They still have a hole or two to plug up front. Mason Appleton leaves a pretty big hole in their third line that they've got to figure out what's going on there. So I expect more to come from the Jets just yet.
By the way, the Seth Jones extension now official, 8 years, $76 million, 9.5 cap hit for Seth Jones. Meantime, the Montreal Canadiens, team that went to the Stanley Cup final, it's easy to forget because this offseason seems like it's been forever and so long because there's just been so much activity and event after event. But Montreal has been active today. David Savard signs a deal there. Cedric Paquette inking a contract there. And certainly a lot of question marks surrounding Shea Weber, but the Montreal Canadiens, I was intrigued to see their focus here in the offseason. Are they linked to Jack Eichel? Are they not? And I think they have to be careful of that unrealistic expectation a la what Vancouver thought after the bubble playoffs, right?
Yeah, good comparison there. You know, if they're in a situation where they lose Philip Deneau as a UFA, which is, don't rule it out, right? I mean, the guy looks poised to make a pretty big payday or get a pretty big payday here. If they lose him and all of a sudden they've added Cedric Paquette and David Savard, like, they're really doubling down on more of the same, which is positional, physical, playoff-style players, which worked for them, and you can see why they like that and want to double down. But at some point, you got to score goals. Drouin coming back should help them there, but I still think they need an infusion of offense into that lineup.
Yeah, I concur, and especially up the middle, like, that's a lot of pressure, I would say, still on Nick Suzuki and Jesperi Kotkaniemi as we move forward to the Ottawa Senators. I don't think a deal that was expected, at least in my world, but Evgeny Dadonov goes to the Vegas Golden Knights, a team looking and starving for offensive depth, and obviously coming off a disappointing season, but a draft pick, and Nick Holden and his $1.7 million going to the Ottawa Senators. You've got to think another shoe is here to drop for the Senators, who, in my opinion, have to take that next step forward in this process, no?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. You know, they might be being honest with themselves and looking at the division and going, what are we? You know, are we going to be competitive? And if not, do we want to spend a lot or risk a lot of assets to get better next year? But here's where I diverge from that thinking, that just because they may not make the playoffs next year doesn't mean they shouldn't try to get as good as possible. It's hard to take that leap from rebuilding team to a rebuilt team, and I think you got to start having these guys in hockey games competing, you know, getting the sense that you're trying to win and every day matters. So, yeah, I think the Ottawa Senators need today NHLers. They need to be involved in UFA here and trades or something because, you know, playing for the bottom and for picks and stuff, it just... there's no guarantee you're ever going to come around. You got to turn the ship around at some point.
I agree. And by the way, to tie up some loose ends, and again, I made note of this last hour, there's just so much information and news out there on social media, so everything we say, take with a grain of salt. But there's no confirmation, by the way, on Ryan Getzlaf and that one-year deal with Anaheim. Chris Johnson saying that at least one team not based in Anaheim thinks it remains in the mix for Ryan Getzlaf. So nothing concrete on the Getzlaf front just yet as we roll on here on Hockey Central. Why don't we look at sort of the UFA board and link some guys who haven't officially signed, but sort of the contracts of guys who have signed as well. Number one on my board was Dougie Hamilton. Sounds like he's going to New Jersey on a lucrative contract, 7 years north of $60 million. What do you make of that play, Borny, if it does come to fruition for the New Jersey Devils?
You know, the Devils have my buddy there, Tyler Dello, and a bunch of other Matt Cain, some good analysts. Or they pay attention to the numbers, right? They are an organization that, even with the 76ers, has operated that way for a while. If you look at Dougie Hamilton's underlying numbers, and so Micah Blake McCurdy of HockeyViz.com has a great look at individual player performance. When Hamilton's on the ice, the amount of shot attempts and chances and everything for his teams goes through the roof. Like, the teams are so much better when he's on the ice, and the amount that happens at his own end also goes way down. He is effective both ways. He's 28, he's 6'6", he scores goals, he gets points. This guy gets Norris Trophy votes, at least worth $9 million a season. So if New Jersey can pick him up for no assets, that is a great addition.
Certainly is. And so it sounds like Dougie Hamilton will go out there to New Jersey, be the sort of face of the franchise, of the rebuild there alongside Jack Hughes and maybe Luke Hughes on the back end. And they're starting to build some momentum, similar to what I was saying with the Ottawa Senators, starting to see that a bit in New Jersey. We talked about Jonathan Bernier signing a two-year deal to maybe be in a tandem with youngster Mackenzie Blackwood. Don't mind that move whatsoever as well. Gabriel Landeskog late last night, Justin, signing an eight-year extension right before the window closed at $7 million per season with Colorado. To me, it was never in doubt. I think it's all part of negotiation, but that's just a really good fit for Landeskog in Colorado. Do you agree?
It seems like the first domino that could fall, like, knowing that at some point Nathan MacKinnon's going to need a huge deal. Like, he feels like he left a lot of money on the table. Like, $7 million a year for your team captain, a guy like Landeskog who can score at a point per game. It's an amazingly cheap deal, if you ask me. Good for him for getting to stay where he wants and staying on a team that's competitive. I like the fit for everyone involved. It just seems like there could have been more money out there for the guy had he chosen to leave.
Yeah, no doubt about that. As we roll on here, Zach Hyman expected to sign a seven-year deal at $5.5 million per. Philip Grubauer's name is still out there. Again, still linked to Colorado. I'm sure they're working on something. I don't think anything confirmed from the Seattle perspective, but Jaden Schwartz sounds like he's going to be a member of the Seattle Kraken. To get back to that conversation, they've raised my eyebrows quite a bit, and they are bushy eyebrows, some of the thickest in the league for sure, Justin. But Seattle, like, it's obviously very, very early to analyze, you know, what they've done. But I think I'm guilty of trying to compare them to Vegas, and I just don't think that's fair.
Well, it's not fair, but you can recognize, you know, that what happened with Vegas wasn't going to happen again, so you had to adjust your expectations. And that includes Seattle, and it sounds like Seattle went out and tried, you know, made the same asks that Vegas did, and teams were like, yeah, we're not doing that twice, and then they didn't budge. So by that lack of flexibility left them with nothing. They got nothing. They picked 30 players. They traded one away. They signed a couple UFAs. And look, I think they're actually a fairly solid team. There's some analysis out there. Dom Lucision of The Athletic has done some that shows that Seattle's initial picks were actually better than Vegas's. But Vegas also left with three picks in the first round, in the top 15, actually, that they turned into talent. So Seattle did a fine job picking their team. There's just nothing left to add to it now. So it looks like they'll probably be an okay team and no better than that.
Yeah, that's where I'm having the problem trying to carve them up for their selections. Again, we talked about earlier, Nikita Zadorov gets traded today for a third-round pick. Why did they take John Quenneville ahead of him? Decisions like that. But again, I'm just so careful to scrutinize Seattle because I did the same with Vegas, and, well, they bit me in the ass. So, ask me 2 years down the road when it comes to Seattle. The Islanders are a team of interest to me, Borny. We talked about them earlier with Dave Pagniota, the fourth period. Nothing confirmed from the Islanders means they're up to something. Kyle Palmieri's linked to them. They're looking to re-sign Casey Cizikas. You would have to think they comprehend Lou Lamoriello being they know that maybe they're a goal scorer or two from maybe putting that team over the top. Back-to-back years, you lose to Tampa in the conference final, the Final Four, whatever you want to call it. They're really, really close. And from my lens, it seems like the Islanders are up to something right now.
Yeah, I sure hope so. They seem like a team who recognizes that they can hang with the best teams. Just when it comes down to a long series and a lot of close games, they tend to have less game breakers who can go and find you that big goal. So can they find a guy? Kyle Palmieri was wonderful for them in playoffs, and I think they'll bring him back. I fully expect that to happen.
you know, as you mentioned, Parisi is a name that they mentioned, who kind of seems like more of the same to me. But I am curious if there's not something else floating around, some bigger fish to add to that group to help with Barzal and Bevilier and the guys who skate and score and put up the offense for the Islanders.
Yeah, you sort of forget about that Tarasenko guy in St. Louis, his day's early numbers, especially with Buchnevich coming into the fold there and getting the contract there with the St. Louis Blues. Going down the list, Philippe Danault has not signed anywhere to the best of our knowledge. Freddie Anderson gets a two-year contract with the Carolina Hurricanes. Tyson Barry re-signs with Edmonton. David Krejci's been linked to the Boston Bruins. We'll see if he re-signs there. But guys like Brandon Saad and Mike Hoffman, that's probably the next tier. Like, I would throw Casey Cizikas in that conversation as well. And then you sort of get down to sort of the bargain buys. Like, Thomas Tatar, Borny, is a guy who really, really intrigues me. Just a really, really difficult ending to his season. Don't forget, a couple years back, it just seemed like a foregone conclusion. He was signing long-term with Montreal. Clearly didn't work out, but you're looking at sort of buys like that. And that's what we talked about earlier. I think if the Maple Leafs exercise some patience, they can find some value later on here in free agency. I believe we've lost Justin again. Oh, there you are.
It is. I'm back. It is one of those situations, Nick, where, you know, it feels like... Hold on one second. I can't hear you now. You there?
Yep. You hear me?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it feels like with the Tatar thing that there's more to be had out of a player like that. It was frustrating the way it went in Montreal, but I feel like someone's going to get a good deal if they give him another chance. It sometimes your playing style just doesn't match up with what a team is looking for, and so I am curious to see what kind of number a guy like that could get.
And so we'll reset here again. Still have about 32 minutes left, and the market has really, really calmed down after an initial burst. Again, at noon Eastern time, teams and agent, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, were able to converse and have conversations. And suddenly, eureka, 1 minute later, we had all these contracts. So we'll reset, we'll recap coming up. It's Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne. Don't forget, Blue Jays baseball is coming up in a half hour from now. A twin bill between the Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. Pivotal games ahead for both those organizations. This is hour number two, a two-hour special edition of Signing Season, Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne. Don't go anywhere. All right, back here on this Signing Season special edition, two-hour extravaganza of Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy at JT Bourne. Bourne, I know you're on Twitter. Did you see the latest here from Kevin Weeks that sounds like some traction is building between the Kraken and Philip Grubauer? What? Justin's at a loss for words. But that's the very latest when it comes to Philip Grubauer, is maybe he's swayed away from Colorado by the Seattle Kraken, where, again, it's way too early to analyze what the Kraken are doing. And Justin, I understand you're back. Did you see that news about Grubauer potentially?
First off, apologies to everyone listening for the bad technical day here. And sometimes it's just randomly bad. No, Grubauer, Colorado, I assume.
No, so Kevin Weeks saying signs pointing to the Seattle Kraken making some traction on Grubauer.
Well, that's great. I that makes sense to me. You know, that was one of the things that I said kind of on repeat during the expansion draft was, would they look at someone who could be a little bit more solidifying in that crease and then use one of those guys they picked up as a trade asset of some variety? So that makes a lot of sense to me. They got a lot of cap space, no doubt about that.
Yeah, you would think it would be Vitek Vanacek who would be the odd man out there, 25 years of age, really good season last year with the Washington Capitals, if that does come to fruition. And the dominoes, you know, what does that ultimately mean? If that does come to fruition and Grubauer does end up in Seattle, what does that mean for Colorado? Does it mean they go to Linus Allmark? How do you feel about Linus Allmark? I know there's a lot of people that love him out there, but man, and a lot of goalies get dinged up, but it always seems like this guy's on the injured list.
Yeah, I guess the take for me is he put up a 915 and a 916 save percentage the last 2 years while playing for the Buffalo Sabres, so the guy can't be bad. You know, like he's at least a legitimate NHL starter. You know, some of the fancier goaltender numbers tell you that he wasn't the best on high danger chances, which is one of the more repeatable things goaltenders can give you. But still, I think he's a starting goalie in the NHL, no doubt about that. So certainly would be a nice way to plug the hole if Colorado had to.
Luke Shen, according to Frank Saravalli, is headed to the Vancouver Canucks once again, 850 AAV in a two-year contract. And Jim Benning, again, has been very, very busy over the last couple of days solidifying his team. And it's just sort of funny what we brought up last segment, that righting the wrongs from his own regime, I just think is the interesting part about Vancouver. But you get the idea there's a lot of pressure to win in Vancouver, Borny. I just don't know with this roster what happens next season. And maybe it's the division they play in and they at least make the playoffs. But you get the perspective that they don't make the playoffs, there's going to be hell to pay, no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that will be the end of Jim Benning's tenure in Vancouver if they don't make the playoffs. But, you know, you can see that they are one of those teams that felt they had to grab, you know, solid D-man, right? Playoff-style D-man. Mm-hmm. Luke Shen, Tucker Pullman's going to go in there. You know, so whether those guys are the right answer or not, you can see them trying to add a certain style to the roster, given that getting enough offensive flair to get it done going the other way.
And you talk about great stories. You certainly look at the Maple Leafs and some players they've had in the past. We just had Dave Pagnotta on last hour. But, you know, there's conversation that Carter Verhaeghe could be closing in an extension around a $12.5 million range. And the Panthers, in fact, have just made it official. But Verhaeghe's an incredible story. You just talk about guys that just find their role and find their position on a team and make it work. And from going from Tampa last offseason, that value buy, to the new deal in place now, job well done for Carter Verhaeghe, eh?
Yeah, Carter Verhaeghe is a great example of what the Tampa Bay Lightning have built over the years. And I know he doesn't play for Tampa Bay, but he is a great example of someone who developed in Syracuse, got better, you know, kind of slotted in a fair role for the type of player he was going to become and no more. And look what it's done for him. Obviously a valuable asset now. And yeah, finally getting his payday, much deserved.
And to circle back here, Justin, on the Maple Leafs perspective, again, we expected this team to go value shopping, and that's in fact what they've done. We were intrigued by the crease. Who would they fill the gap with? Would it be Freddie Anderson re-signing? That's not the case. He goes to the Carolina Hurricanes in a two-year deal at 4.5. And they've actually exchanged places. Him and Peter Mrazek joins the Maple Leafs three times 3.8. Michael Bunting two times 900K. Michael Amadio on a one-year, two-way deal, and this was our expectation from the Maple Leafs. And I'm sure they're involved on names like Brandon Saad. I know there's a glaring hole up the middle on the third line right now, but this is what I expected from Toronto. When you commit to that brain trust and the big four, there's going to be, you know, changes every offseason seemingly in that bottom six and the depth roles. And I think they're hoping for the emergence again of guys like Sandin and Liljegren next season too.
Well, they are, and you got to give them some credit for believing in what they have and going back with it and saying, hey, we think, you know, the Tavares injury hurt us in the first round. We think if that doesn't happen, we're a good enough team to win a round, maybe two rounds, who knows what after that. So, you know, they believe in what they've built. They're going to fill in at the fringes. They're not overreacting, which doesn't seem like a terrible thing. Looking at these D-man contracts right now, keeping Justin Hall for two times two is absurdly good. No way you'd be able to replace him. So they've done some good things, and they're still rolling out a good team. But yeah, they just don't have much money to do anything too flashy without making a move of one of their bigger core pieces.
Meantime, the goaltending carousel is something, Justin, we've been monitoring all day long. Remains to be seen what happens here with Philip Grubauer. But Carter Hutton, Arizona's another team looking for not one but two netminders. They signed one here in Carter Hutton, the veteran going from Buffalo to Arizona, a one-year deal at $750K. The Carolina Hurricanes, you talk about former Maple Leafs, agreed to terms on a one-year deal with Josh Levo on a value by $750K for that transaction. So you're starting to see those type of deals. Again, every year, how often do you see names? And I think last year it was like Mike Hoffman. There are going to be names left without a dance partner. And I think that's when you find the value deals if you're the Maple Leafs, Justin.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it was one of the times my phone cut out when I was answering that question earlier. But I think that a lot of times you see these deals come out on the first day of free agency and everyone goes, you know, oh my God, I can't believe free agents cost so much money. And all of a sudden it's day two and you see a bunch of pretty quality names signing for deals when they realize that they just don't have a lot of suitors out there. That's not a bad pool to go fishing from if you can wait past that first day and let the flashier names disappear and then kind of pick the best of the rest because you need to get those guys pretty cheap.
You want to talk about teams and I don't want to correlate them to cheap, but they have a budget, that's for sure, is the Carolina Hurricanes. But I like what this team is doing here in the offseason in terms of depth buys. Ian Cole, according to Friedge, signs a one-year deal at 2.9 with the Carolina Hurricanes. So you start to look at what they're assembling with that roster, especially on the back end. They pick up Ethan Barrett today. So I don't know what happens with that Jake Gardner contract, but you have Slavin, you have Brady Shea, you have Pesci, you have Bear, and now you add in Ian Cole, and they've been rumored on Anthony DeAngelo as well. Again, Carolina with their new goaltending duo as well with Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta, I think they've improved here in the offseason. Do you?
I do. I'm curious to see if they're a team that spends to the cap or if they're someone that's trying to have success without spending all the way to the cap. But yeah, no, they Josh Levo's a nice addition for them. He seems like a guy who's going to have a 10-year NHL career and never make $8 million, you know, over the total sum of it all.
You're right.
Everyone sees he has value, but no one wants to pay him much more than that. But still, a nice add there. And they're another team that is just looking to fill in at the fringes when they've got a lot of really good core pieces. So I have liked the Hurricanes for a long time. They're going to take a PR blow if they sign Tony DeAngelo, but that has yet to be announced, so we'll wait and see.
The Ottawa Senators announced a two-year deal with Michael Delzato, a $2 million AAV as he makes his round, and we'll be back in Canada. Michael Delzato, MDZ, now with the Ottawa Senators on a two-year deal. Again, Luke Shen signing that two-year contract with the Vancouver Canucks. So again, the focus is starting to get on some of the lesser names in the market, the depth guys. But again, don't forget Nick Foligno's name, Borny, is still out there. You would have to think the Leafs are still involved in that conversation. And the suitors have to be up there, right, with Minnesota and other likes. When you just look at the whole package for Nick Foligno, I know it wasn't what was expected for what they gave up from Columbus, but would you circle back on Nick Foligno if you were the Maple Leafs?
Well, the later it goes on a day like today, you start to wonder if, you know, maybe there's not a huge payday out there for Foligno and all of a sudden it could be a cheaper option. So, yeah, you know, you certainly want to circle back on a guy who can, you know, play a depth role, still fill in with or chip in with a little bit of offense, play physically. Like a lot of the things that the Leafs have felt like they're lacking in past years, particularly with the loss of Zach Hyman. So I wouldn't say cross Foligno off the list yet for the Leafs.
No, definitely not. And certainly a name we'll monitor, not to mention the trade market as well. I just don't know where this goes for Jack Eichel, Borny, if it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, because teams are starting to spend some money. Not starting, they have spent a lot of money on this day, and the final numbers won't be until later on today, clearly. But it starts to dry up big time. And if you're going to make a transaction that big, I think you have to make it soon if you're Buffalo, or you sort of run the risk of coming back with Jack Eichel to start next season, no?
Well, if he will, like, I'm just so sick of the, like, oh, wait till the draft, and teams get to the draft, and they don't like what's available to them, and all of a sudden, they run out of time to make a good move. I think the best time to trade a player you know you're going to trade is the second you decide to do it, by and large. And Jack Eichel is a big fish that teams would have moved heaven and earth to get, no matter the time of year. So now we're waiting till everyone has filled up their rosters and got maxed out against the cap again, and a lot less teams are available as suitors. So the longer they wait, the less you believe a huge haul is coming back the other way.
Certainly, and when you look at the trade market, we've seen a couple deals go down today. Edmonton trading Ethan Bear to Carolina, as you mentioned, for forward Warren Fogle. Chicago trading RFA defenseman Nikita Zadorov to Calgary for a 2022 third-round pick. And certainly a couple deals yesterday that came out of left field. Marc-Andre Fleury goes to Chicago for pretty much nothing. The Brendan Dillon deal, I should say, to Winnipeg. Nate Schmidt to Winnipeg as well. And Tampa, a team we knew was going to be busy here. They lose Yanni Gourde. They lose Goodrow. They lose Coleman, obviously not the same team, but I think the nucleus is still in play there. And Zach Bogosian as well, former Maple Leaf, now signs a three-year deal value buy there for Tampa as well. But Tyler Johnson and a second-round pick to Chicago last night for Brent Seabrook's contract. What have you made of Julian Brisebois' offseason the last couple weeks?
you know, they were going to have to lose players. It's unfortunate, but they were going to lose players. That was just always the way this was going to go. And with that, he's done a fine job managing it and keeping the important pieces there as best as possible. So I think they're in a pretty good position still to be one of the teams who competes for a cup next year. I mean, they finished third in their division last year and still won the cup. Mm-hmm. This just feels like a team that has the wherewithal now that if they just have a halfway good season, you still like their chances when they get to the playoffs. Particularly if they can add a former Hart Trophy winner to their lineup post-playoffs.
Yeah, I think so as well. It's funny how it works out, doesn't it? And people still unhappy with that, but certainly Tampa's done an excellent job at drafting, and you can't look past that for sure. Where are you at with the offer sheet conversation? I know it's thrown around a couple times every offseason. I mentioned the names to Dave Pagnotta of guys out there, and he did mention that Vancouver is mindful of Elias Pettersson and the fear, if you want to call it that, of an offer sheet. How do you feel about offer sheets in general, Borny?
Well, like, why did the rebuilding Detroit Red Wings or Ottawa Senators not throw an offer sheet at Elias Pettersson?
You're right.
I think, you know, there's not really a good competitive reason why they won't. Generally, it's, you know, do they have enough picks to replace the compensation necessary? I got to believe a team like Detroit does. I don't have it directly in front of me, but you would think that someone would and should, given the quality of player you could get coming back the other way. A little bit too much old boys clubs with the lack of offer sheets in the NHL in general.
So I've been mulling this over the last couple days as to what some teams are doing here in the offseason, and I always like to think outside the box. Am I on to something suggesting teams are aware of who's expected to go number one overall the next couple years in Shane Wright and Connor Bedard, or is that overthinking it, Borny?
Well, I think they're aware of it. I just don't want to see – You know, the tank days are really not great for the league and not great for the players involved. And, you know, certainly there are great players there. You'd love to be as competitive as possible. And if it happens, it happens. You know, they've diluted the odds for the teams that do bottom out their odds of getting the overall pick. So you're best off just to compete and see what happens. But definitely there are teams aware of the great talents that are waiting for them. It's not justification enough unless it's a Connor McDavid type to me. Oh, and Shane Wright maybe that, in fairness.
Yeah, the pain for Shane, they're calling it. Connor Bedard after that. I just wonder what some of these teams being hesitant to take on guys who can make them better than they want to be, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm right there with you. I don't think you tempt fate. You just go along with the process. If it takes you, it takes you where it takes you kind of thing. I just believe in that sort of perspective. A couple things to monitor again. We mentioned Philip Grubauer and the Kraken. There's reports out there that's getting closer. And I like this value by Chicago. J.J. Kara. Played with Edmonton, signs a 2-year deal, $975K per season with Chicago. I guess the rebuild's over with Chicago, Borny?
Yeah, it's good. That's great. I think that's really nice addition to the bottom of their roster. So good for him and getting a 2-year NHL contract. I think he's earned it. And a good fit for the type of player they're looking for. The Blackhawks are making a push here, making a push to be relevant while Taves and Kane are still on the big deals and still performing at a reasonably high level.
Yeah, of note, those two have 1 year remaining on their massive deals, if you can believe it. Time is flying, and time flew in this show. There's no doubt about that. We're about 10 minutes away from Blue Jays baseball. We brought it today. The Blue Jays better bring it today at Fenway. It's Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, we're about 10 minutes away from Blue Jays baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, wrapping up signing season. This 2-hour extravaganza here on Hockey Central. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne. Justin, just to recap the day so far for the Maple Leafs, 3x3.8 for Peter Mrazek. They lose Freddie Anderson. Still nothing official on Zach Hyman, by the way, to Edmonton. Michael Bunting, a 2-year deal at $900K. And Michael Amadio, a 1-year two-way deal for the Maple Leafs. What do you make of the offseason moves so far here?
Really good. You know, there was a ton of goalies available, but you got to pick one. You can't put them all in your net, and I think Mrazek was as good a bet as any. He's had a nice couple seasons here in a row, so I like that one. And then they took a couple of good low-risk chances to fill in places, so we'll see how they do the rest of the way. Still some more additions to go, but they're coming back with the same team. Well, what they did today wasn't going to be the be-all, end-all, but I'm glad that they took some good shots, I think.
Yeah, that was my expectation. Ultimately, when I look back at the past season, it really wasn't about the depth pieces or lack thereof. It was the fact that Marner and Matthews went MIA when it mattered most in terms of producing offense. And that's where you're going to win. That's where you're going to lose. And that's how they lost. The Seattle Kraken announcing a 3-year contract here for Alex Wennberg, 4.5 AAV. And by the way, Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period, who we had on last hour, confirming that the Kraken, Borny, have signed Philip Grubauer. So could only wonder how much money they've thrown at Grubauer here.
Yeah, has he got something like 6x6 or something on the way?
I would think.
You know, I would imagine. I think that was the Binnington deal, so that seems likely. Now we'll see what's available. Someone want Vitek Vanacek? He's available.
Yeah, Vitek Vanacek certainly on the market. Brock McGinn signs a four-year deal at 2.75 with Brian Burke's Pittsburgh Penguins. And sadly, that's going to do it. We're out of time. This last couple hours flew by, Borny, and I guess the offseason starts to begin a bit here, no?
Yeah, so soon enough. Tomorrow's the day all the insiders go to their cottage.
Yeah, it's time to wind down, but excellent job, Borny. We'll talk on Friday, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Many people to thank for putting this show together. Producer J.R. Manitad, Technical Ops, Dylan Brown, and Lance Kennedy. Excellent job, fellas. Keith Yandel, thanks so much to the Flyer for coming on. Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period, and many thanks to my co-host, Justin Bourne. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks so much for listening. Blue Jays baseball is next.